FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's July 3rd, 2017. Imagine that. The U.S. Independence Day is tomorrow, and Canada had their 150th anniversary on the 1st, and well, it's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review for June 2017. Mickey, how are you?
I'm doing well, Kerry. It's our 241st birthday tomorrow. If my arithmetic is that I did in my head is correct. And it was the 150th anniversary of the Canadian Confederation on Saturday, called the Sesquicentennial. And I actually thought the Sesquicentennial was a town in northern Saskatchewan, but my Canadian friends corrected me on that.
Okay, well, it sounds something Indian, you know, but it only comes along once every 150 years. And that means in 9 years, it's going to be the United States' 250th anniversary. And I wonder who will be president then. I wonder what the price of gold will be and where the stock markets will be, but we'll have to wait on that. In the meantime, I'm looking at our spreadsheet here and the stock market. I mean, it's unbelievable. The NASDAQ went down a little, but the rest of U.S. markets were up.
Well, Kerry, we had repeated all-time highs across the board, all four major U.S. markets. And this is a worldwide phenomena, world stock markets at all-time highs. The Dow had a very good month, quarter and half, up 8% over the half, closed at 21,350. Today, it's at an all-time record high a couple of days after the end of the month. S&P 500 closed at 24,23, a few dollars off its all-time high, 8.2% return over the half. NASDAQ had an intermonth high. Pull back on that as the overheated techs corrected a bit, about 3%. But all in all, it had a 14% half-year return, down 1% over the month. And finally, the Russell 2000, another all-time high, although it's lagged all the other markets this year, close at 14.15, up 3% for the month, but 4% over the half.
Yeah, interesting. And looking at the Canadian markets and the emerging?
Well, they're the underperformers, and the Toronto Big Board is one of the few things on our chart that is a negative return, both for the month, the quarter, and the half. Although it's not down that much over the half, less than 1%, but the U.S. trade war, the downfall in oil, the tepid markets for precious metals, and then the Bank of Canada came in and said they're going to raise interest rates. So tightening of the economy in Canada all weighed on that. And the Toronto Venture Exchange, geez, it just has had a miserable quarter and a miserable month, down 6% for the quarter, basically flat for the year. But what really happened, Kerry, is the phenomena we always know as sell in May, go away, has morphed immediately into the summer doldrums. The volumes on the Toronto Venture Exchange, the average volume was at the low that we haven't seen since about bottom in the commodities market in late January of 2016.
Remarkable. Well, at least the emerging market got goosed up a little, and it really had a great half.
Well, it certainly did. Up less than 1% over the month, but 5.5% over the quarter, 17% over the half. And we hit 52-week highs. It closed just under that at 1,011 for the month. And meanwhile, the VIX spent most of the month at or near 14-year lows. It dipped below 10 a couple of times, finished on Friday at a little bit above 11. But it was low the entire month, except the couple of days when the Dems thought that they could impeach Trump, and then we saw some volatility in the market. But those went away in a day or so.
Yeah, well, you know, politics and the markets, we could leave that for another show.
Absolutely.
But we go to our money here, and a down month, two down months in a row, three, four down months in a row for the greenback.
Well, yeah, since the end of February, but the chart on the U.S. dollar is basically broken down. We've been making lower lows and lower highs since January 1, down 6.5% for the half, almost 5% for the quarter, and 1.5%. U.S. dollar closed at 95.67. We haven't seen these levels since the end of September 2016, but this is all part of the plan, I think, in the Trump administration. They want a weaker dollar so we can get our trade deficit and balance of payment a little bit corrected. Meanwhile, the euro had a very good month, quarter and a half, up almost 9%, closed at $1.14. And moving over to 10-year bonds, we've got an interesting phenomena going with the Treasury. Treasury bills, short-term interest rates have gone up significantly, while the long-term bond rates, so 10-year and 30-year bonds, have lagged behind. And that's a little bit different than what we normally see, although we did see a very good month for Treasury bonds. It looks like the longer term bonds are going to catch up and yields are going to go up here. So close at 2.31% for the month. Meanwhile, we got Bitcoin. My gosh, closed at 2504. Up 131% over the quarter, 162% over the half. You know, we've got a Bitcoin bubble. It's pulled off significantly from its highs mid-month. But here's an interesting tidbit for you to show you the role of Bitcoin in the world's economy. Bill Gates's net worth is more than two times the total of value of Bitcoin in the world.
That's pretty good. I wonder how it compares to Jeff Bezos at this point. Gotta be getting close to him, right?
Well, yeah. Here's the deal. You know, I looked up, I got this chart, came across my desk a couple of days ago, but the co-founder of Google, Larry Page, who I think is the CEO of Google right now, he comes in, his net wealth is exactly the amount of Bitcoin capitalization in the world.
I wonder if he owns any. You know,
I don't know.
Here's the thing. You know, if it wants to be a currency, a form of money, and I was listening to a book by Mervyn King, The End of Alchemy. He was the governor of the Bank of England. And he says, Bitcoin cannot be money when you can't rely upon the value. It's okay if the value goes down, I'm adding this, goes down somewhat over time, but you can't have volatility in your purchasing unit. In 6 months, it's gone up 2.5 times. And then you remember back when it had gone over 1,000, whenever that was. I mean, that was in 2013, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, 2013, it hit like 1,100. And then it crashed after that. Yep. It was at 1,125. Looking at our chart, November of 2013, it was 1,125. And it went all the way down to 187 intra-month. And now it closed the month at 2,500. That's not something you really want to be doing all your transactions in, is it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's no doubt a bubble, and it's gonna come back to reality. We all know when markets go exponential, they will go parabolic. More power to the people who got in very early, but take some profits. Yeah,
for sure. Hey, and then we're looking at the metals. Really negative month for three out of four of the precious metals we cover.
Yeah, gold, silver, and platinum both had very weak months and quarters, although they're all up for the year. Gold at 8%, silver 4.5% up, and platinum at 2.6%. Gold is especially weak, but it keeps making higher lows in 2017, so the chart hasn't broken down. And this is the bad month and quarter, despite this weak dollar, which is a bit counterintuitive. Usually when a dollar goes down, commodities go up, but that's not been the case. So I'm very bearish on gold in the short term here. We got summer doldrum seasonal lows, normal seasonal lows still coming. The semi-precious metal, if you will, to book this trend this year is palladium. It hit a two-year high in mid-June, came off that considerably. I think the two-year high was something like $885, something like that. Right. Closed at $840, but that's 24% return year to date. And it's really driven by auto sales and demand for catalysts. We'll talk a little bit more about the last two metals, platinum and palladium, when we talk about our ratios at the end of this program.
Yeah, it's important to realize that apparently, at least if you read the papers and with all the fake news, who knows what's real and who isn't, but it appears that auto sales, not just in the U.S., but worldwide, have peaked. And this does not bode well for platinum and palladium. Maybe that's what somehow platinum has been trying to tell us for the past year.
Well, there's been an oversupply of platinum and there's been a palladium deficit. So this is really supply-demand fundamentals at this point. Now, there's been a lot of speculation in palladium. As we all know, world trade of metals are very, they're speculative ventures at best. So, but you're certainly correct about the fact that auto sales have peaked both in China and U.S. They actually gone down for the last couple of months. Meanwhile, moving to copper, it's had an eight-day rally where it's gone up as the shorts have had to cover. There were some really skewed long net commercial shorts, and that's now been corrected. So copper moved up over the last 7-8 days, closed at 268. We haven't seen that level in about 4 months. Very good month, 4% gain. 2% over the quarter, 7% over the year. This has been a part of a much larger industrial metals rally over the last couple of weeks as, the hedge funds came in the industrial metals markets about 15 months ago or something, and they all started moving quite boisterously. And then they found out in February that they had moved too fast on them, and there was a big sell-off. But over the last couple of weeks, we've seen rallies in copper, zinc, nickel, lead, tin, even iron ore and coking coal have all moved up.
Amazing. Well, hey, now we go to our energy sector, and not a pretty sight there either.
No, it's been a really bad year for energy pretty much across the board. I'm looking at WTI, Brent, Henry Hub, all have gone down over the month, over the quarter, over the half. The two oils have lost about 15% this year. Henry Hub's lost 20%. I mean, this has really come down. The world's got what I think is a temporary oversupply of oil because demand remains strong. But despite the OPEC and Russian cuts of 1.8 million barrels a day, we've seen U.S. shale come roaring back, 900,000 barrels more per day than the low last year. And really, this is the story. It's U.S. shale versus the rest of the world. We're going to need something on the order of $50 a barrel to keep the shale boom going, but we're not that far off of it. Oil went below $42 last week, but it rallied quite boisterously, closed at $46. Brent was closed just under $48. Henry Hub was basically flat, but 20% down on the year. It's basically flat and a very high demand season. We've had record heat here in the Southwest, all the way from Los Angeles to Texas. And but once again, it's all about shale oil. And when you make shale oil, you make shale gas. So production's up. Oil market looks unsettled for the near-term future. Uranium had a bad quarter, down 16%. It's basically closed at $20 and change. There's no end in sight to the oversupply. At some point, it's going to turn. It's going to turn very rapidly. But that's a mid to long-term phenomenon. We don't see indication of it yet.
Yeah, at some point, it's got to turn. Every dog has its day. Not to say that uranium's a dog, but certainly its market behavior resembles one as of the past few years. I mean, just been terrible. So looking at our ratios, well, one interesting one is the silver to gold ratio.
Yeah, it's back up to 75. We haven't seen that value for, what, a year and a half or something like that. Well, it looks like about a year and a month. Doesn't really pique my interest at this level, but a couple of things have. The platinum to gold ratio is once again hovering at its all-time low, never achieved before, except over the last couple of months, of 0.74, and this is since Nixon took the U.S. off the gold standard. Platinum traded freely before that, and then gold did. And the other ratio we look at is platinum palladium. It is at 1.1. We haven't seen this sort of ratio low from except last time was in September 01, and that's when the Russians were still restricting exports of palladium. And that's really when the ability to use more palladium than platinum in gasoline burning auto catalysts came on board. So, and then also, if you remember, Kerry, Ford bought $1 billion they bought more palladium than $1 billion worth, but they took $1 billion loss. So we're looking at near historic lows for that ratio too.
Hey, well, it's really interesting when you look at that. I mean, since we've been tracking it, it's just been going, you know, straight down, platinum, especially vis-a-vis gold and palladium. And, you know, you just got to wonder, is it's got to stop at some point, right? I mean, these are such small markets. The slightest disruption can turn that around really quickly.
Yeah, I think what, you know, there's been some talk that platinum and palladium are going to go to par. But if that happens, Gary, it's not going to happen for very long, because automakers, catalyst makers will switch immediately to platinum because it is so much more efficient than palladium in auto catalysts. So, you know, it's going to be this thing of the cure for low prices is low prices.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I know we had this discussion before, and you thought it was going to par. And I'll say, if it does go to par, it's not going to last very long.
Yeah. Agreed. And hey, that's it for this installment of the monthly major market review. We find Mickey over at mercenarygeologist.com. Just give us your Twitter feed, Mickey.
At Mercenary Geo, we're now up to 63,000 Twitter followers.
Wow, that's pretty remarkable. And we're at Kerry Lutz. If you got a question or comment for Mickey or myself, email us at kl@kerrylutz.com. The Facebook page is Financial Survival Network, where we try to find a little humor in the day-to-day drudgery of economies and governments and other ne'er-do-wells. So, Mickey, we will catch you next month. You be well.
All right. Take care, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.